It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Shapp, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Shapp.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Shapp. Scottie Scheffler wins again on the PGA Tour. He backs up picking up a green jacket at Augusta National with his second Masters win by going to Hilton Head and winning the RBC Heritage. Now, he had to wait an extra day because weather moved in on Sunday's final round and basically postponed everything, so he had to go back out on Monday morning to finish off with a couple of pars. Scottie Scheffler wins by 3 shots over Sahith Theegala. Scottie Scheffler shot 19 under. Theegala was 16 under. Wyndham Clark and Patrick Cantlay tied for third at minus 15. Here is Scottie Scheffler after the win.
It's nice to be sitting here with the jacket on. It's a good feeling. As far as the week goes, it was a pretty smooth week there for a while. You know, we had the weather yesterday, which was a bit challenging, but and then the conditions changed pretty drastically this morning. But it was nice to get out there and make a couple pars and finish off the tournament the right way. It was part of our plan this week to come here and play, and I was able to go home for a couple days and celebrate. And I didn't really put much thought into it. It was just I had committed to playing the tournament. That's really all that it was. It really wasn't too much thought on that. I committed to play here. It was part of the plan, and so we stuck to the plan. And I talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the week. I didn't show up here just to have some sort of ceremony and have everybody tell me congratulations and whatnot. I came here with a purpose and got off to a bit of a slow start, but after that I played some really nice golf.
It was a split week on the PGA Tour. Billy Horschel wins in the Dominican Republic. He won the Corrales Punta Cana Championship by 2 shots. He shot minus 23. He wins by 2 over Wesley Bryan and 3 over Kevin Tway at Punta Cana Resort and Golf Club. Congratulations to Scottie and Billy, both winners on the PGA Tour this past week. Last year, Scottie Scheffler set the mark of highest earnings in a single season with $21 million. John Rahm last year pocketed $16.5 million. Scottie Scheffler, in just the last 42 days, has already pocketed $16.3 million, so he is well on his way to eclipsing last year's mark. Victor Hovland last year pocketed $14.1 million. And how about Scottie Scheffler in 2022? He pocketed $14 million. Tiger Woods, back in 2007, won $10.9 million. So I did a little quick math. Scottie Scheffler, since 2022, has won $51.3 million, and he has won 4 of his last 5 PGA Tour starts. Speaking of streaks and winning, how about Nelly Korda on the LPGA Tour? She wins the Chevron Championship at the club at Carlton Woods in the Woodlands, Texas. It was an LPGA major. It was her 5th win in a row in her 5th start. How about this? She has won $2.4 million over the last 5 wins. Here is Nelly Korda after the win this past week.
It's just been a crazy, crazy, crazy couple of weeks with some really solid golf, and I can finally breathe. I was really nervous on that back 9. I really, really wanted this win, and it feels amazing to get it. A lot of doubt crept into my mind in 2022 and especially 2023. I heard some outside voices from other people saying that, they don't know if I'll ever be able to win another major again. And I stuck to working extremely hard on and off the golf course. And I'm so thankful to have the team that I do. They've gone through all the highs and lows with me, especially Jason. And I just can't be more thankful for the hard work that each and one of them put into it.
Can Nelly make it 6 for 6? She's going to try this week in Las Vegas. Paul Broadhurst wins on the PGA Tour Champions over David Toms and Y.E. Yang and Thomas Bjorn at the Invited Celebrity Classic at Las Colinas Country Club in Irving, Texas. Broadhurst won by 1 over David Toms, and then Y.E. Yang and Thomas Bjorn finished at -8. Broadhurst shooting 11 under par for the championship. He wins at Las Colinas in Irving, Texas. Coming up on this edition of From the Short Grass, I sit down with Arkansas assistant golf coach Gustavo Morantes. Gustavo has really stepped onto the scenes in Fayetteville and helped head coach Brad McMakin out quite a bit. The Arkansas Razorbacks have been consistently in the top 15 and slightly into the top 10 at times this year. They are competing at the SEC Championships this week and look forward to a run at the NCAA Championships. Gustavo Morantes coming up on this edition of From the Shoregrass. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you find one of their properties and book it. How do you do that? Find them on the web, bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group. We're back after this. Stay with us.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the fans stay. Stayridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass. I am your host, Trey Shapp. Brad McMakin, head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, has had a lot of recruiting success in Latin America over the last several years. So it's fitting that his assistant coach now hails from Latin America. Gustavo Morantes from Venezuela is the newest assistant to Brad McMakin and the Arkansas Razorback men's golf team. On the tee, Gustavo Morantes.
Gustavo Morantes, thanks for joining me on From the Shortgrass. Assistant golf coach at the University of Arkansas. How do you like Fayetteville so far?
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Fayetteville's been awesome. Been here for over 6 months, and it's been great. I like the no traffic. Great place to eat. And my fiance just moved here too, so she's been liking it too. So yeah, we love it. We want to stay here for a long time.
Yeah, that's nice. And not a bad place to come to work when you get to come to the Blessings Golf Club.
Yeah, no, this is for sure by far the best facility in the country. And to be able to play in at a championship golf course like this every day, it gives us a huge advantage. And obviously Mr. Tyson cares a lot for the team and the coaches. So yeah, we're very fortunate.
Let's go back to when you first picked up a golf club in Venezuela. Do you remember when that was?
Yeah, I was 5 years old at my country club back home, Caracas Country Club, and started playing junior tournaments there, and then playing, you know, statewide tournaments, and then got to represent the country quite a bit over in South America, and we went to Japan. Growing up, we won the junior world championship. So yeah, played a lot internationally, so that helped me, you know, love for college and professional golf.
Is golf in Venezuela as big as it is here in the States?
No, sir. No, it's not. We only have about, I think, 6,000 golfers in the whole country. You know, it's different than here. There's a lot of public golf courses here in the States where, you know, anyone can just go play. But back home, it's not like that. There's about 15 golf courses in the whole country, so it's not very popular.
Were you self-taught, or did you have a pro help you?
No, I had a pro help me. a pro at our country club back home. He helped us, and then he passed away, and then I had three different coaches growing up, and then I was part of the national team, and we had a coach that played on the PGA Tour and Korn Ferry Tour, so he was big help for us and the national team.
Playing the high school level and then, like you said, on the national team, playing competitive, what was it like playing in some of those competitions in Venezuela? Was it really competitive, or did you kind of stand out above the rest?
Yeah, it was. There were always about five guys that could play really well, and us five play for the national team. It was very competitive, and we had a lot of tournaments, so it was good to play almost every week and, you know, stay competitive. And then we played outside the country a lot. We won with South American juniors almost every year that we played it, and we had a great team. One of my old teammates played at the University of Florida, and the other ones played college golf too at a high level. So we had a competitive team.
When did you know that you wanted to play and go to college and be on a collegiate golf team?
Yeah, that's always been a dream of mine. I always wanted to live here in the States. And, yeah, I knew about playing college golf when I was probably 12 years old. I was lucky enough to get recruited by the University of New Mexico. It was a great decision for me.
What was your time at New Mexico like? How was that team?
Very competitive. We were – my freshman year, we had Victor Perez, that's one on the European Tour. He's playing the PGA Tour now. Gavin Green, that plays on the DP World Tour. Sam Saunders, he's an assistant coach at New Mexico now. But it was really tough to get in the lineup, but I was playing really well, and I was lucky enough to play that freshman year. And those guys left, and then we were pretty young, but we were still ranked top 30. Made it to nationals, and it was very competitive. We played great against great competition, great golf courses, so it was really fun.
So you're playing at New Mexico, and obviously the goal there is to get to an NCAA championship. Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever get in there?
Yeah, we played the national championship in 2017 at Rich Harvest Farms. We got through
what
the
a
regional.
Course.
Oh, it was amazing. It's probably one of the best courses I've been in college golf.
Yeah.
And we didn't play very good at the national championship, but it was really fun, and we had a chance to make it other times. We actually hosted twice, while I was a player, and then one when I was a coach, and we didn't make it. We were a five seed, and we didn't make it. So,
so right after your college golf, did you have aspirations of the PGA Tour? I mean, I would think that every guy that comes and plays Division I golf is thinking, okay, I'm going to be able to make it on the PGA Tour. If not it, the Korn Ferry?
Yeah. I had aspirations of playing professional golf on the PGA Tour. I feel like I didn't give it a chance. You know, I only played for about 2 years. I made it through Q school and, you know, made it through a couple Monday qualifiers, but I didn't have the drive to practice like I did in college, and, you know, it won't get you too far if you don't practice.
I was going to say, I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
On the professional level, isn't it?
Yeah, I played my best golf. I played professional golf, and I made $0, so it was pretty hard.
When you go out there and you shoot, like, 67 or, you know, 68, and there are guys shooting 63s and 64s on a regular basis, it's like, yeah, maybe it's time for a new job.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's why I'm coaching now.
Good point. And so that's why you decided to get into the coaching ranks. You started your coaching at New Mexico?
Yes, sir. I started at New Mexico in 2019. And we had, you know, New Mexico has been kind of struggling a little bit. We're, you know, ranked in the low 70s and barely making it to regionals. And then got in, team started doing great. I really liked it. And then COVID hit. So we were out for – we didn't play for about a year. And then January of 2021, we started back up again. And, yeah, I was like, okay, I really like this.
Yeah.
So then from there, I went to the University of Houston for a year. I was there for a year. It was great working with Diaz. But – I knew I always wanted to coach in the SEC, so.
And then Arkansas came open with a job, and you got a hold of Brad McMakin.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
What were those conversations like early on?
Well, I've met Brad a couple times before, but he knew, you know, there's a strong Latin American presence here at the University of Arkansas. And, you know, he knew that I had some connections down there, so we want to keep that connection growing. So he thought I was the right guy for the job.
It does seem like there's a pipeline to Latin America right mm-hmm. now within this Arkansas golf program.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's they feel very comfortable here. And
why do you think that is?
I don't know. I guess it started with Nico Echevarria. He played college golf at the same time I played college golf. But, yeah, and they, you know, the word goes around, and every kid that plays junior golf in South America wants to come play at the University of Arkansas. So we can kind of pick and choose who we want.
And obviously now, I mean, Mateo is a household name in Latin America with him winning the amateur championship last year and getting into the Masters and being a former Razorback. That has to help.
Yeah, yeah. The creation of the LAC has been amazing, especially for programs like this. Because, you know, obviously Mateo went and won the LAC, and then the University of Arkansas was mentioned a lot. So now, you know, we have a bunch of kids from down there emailing us and then the assistant coach is from Venezuela, so, you know, they want to come play here.
So you guys can basically have the pick, if you will, of the litter when it comes to Latin American golfers. I mean, because the fact that you're here and what others have been able to do, I mean, the program kind of sells itself, doesn't it?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, and then once you bring him out to the Blessings and, you know, the city of Fayetteville, they just fall in love with him. It's amazing.
What's a recruiting trip like for someone from Latin America when you bring them here? I mean, what do you have to show them before they're like, yeah, this is where I need to be?
Well, you just really, the only thing that we need to make sure to show is the Blessings. I mean, once you show this place, it's hard for a guy to say, I don't want to go there, you know. It's hard for us to convince a kid to come take a visit here. But once they make the visit, it's pretty much sold.
What is it like coaching alongside Brad McMakin?
Oh, it's been amazing. I think the most important part is that we trust each other, and you know he gives me a lot of trust, and then you know he lets me help the guys in some ways, and you know, because I played college golf not too long ago, I still try to go play with them here and there, beat them sometimes, they beat me sometimes, but you know, I think just being young and being closer to them helps them.
What kind of a player is Brad McMakin? Because every time I've been around him, I've never seen him with a club in his hand. But I hear he's got, like, several holes in ones, and he's just a fantastic player.
Oh, no, he's a player. He hits the ball really well the couple of times that I've played with him. He puts it pretty decent, but hits it great. So, you know, at his age – he's pretty strong too, you know, so he still hits a pretty decent way, and, you know, it's fun. It's fun. We play a couple of guys, and last time we played, I made a hole-in-one, and we beat the guys. So
you made a hole-in-one.
Yes, sir.
How about that? What number was that for you?
That was number three.
Your third.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
well,
sir.
I've got three too, so we're right there. I don't think
awesome.
Coach McMakin has ever missed a workout, though.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, you talk about chiseled.
I remember when I played college golf, he was probably 30 pounds bigger or heavier than he is now. He was big. He was intimidating for sure.
Yeah, I don't think I want to get in the crosshairs of him. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
What's in the future for you?
Yeah.
Besides, obviously, being an assistant coach here, you love it. You want to be here as long as you can. But, I mean, obviously, maybe sometime you might want to be a head coach of your own program.
Yeah, I would love to be a head coach. Obviously, in the SEC, it would be awesome. But, yeah, I have aspirations to be a head coach, yeah.
If you could say one thing or multiple things to Mr. Tyson about what he has built here, what would it be?
Well, Mr. Tyson's Arkansas golf. You know, he gives us the opportunity to play here every day. Our facilities are here, and he has a relationship with the guys on the team, so that he helps them a lot. He helps us a lot. But those guys want to play for Mr. Tyson. And he gives us an opportunity to showcase the blessings too on TV in October for the BCI. And teams all over the country want to come play here. So, yeah, he's Arkansas Golf.
What is the recruiting pitch from you when you're out recruiting and you see some talented junior golfer and you're like, all right, that's the one I need to really hone in on? Obviously not giving any names, but mm-hmm. what's the pitch to them to kind of get them introduced if they haven't been introduced to Arkansas golf?
Yeah, well, again, the blessings, you know, that's being able to play at a championship golf course almost every day, where you don't have to wait because there's nobody out here. That's a big sell for us. And then, you know, we're able to play against the best competition in NCAA golf. So, you know, that's a big deal.
You guys have already won a tournament this year. What was it like winning in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, that was fun. We had a pretty good tournament. Our ability to hit the golf ball is second to none. And we've showed that all year long. The guys, you know, can hit it into their space and start the ball in line with their irons, which is important. They drive it pretty well. Short game's pretty good. We haven't capitalized on our putting yet, but we've been hammering that on practice. So we're going to be in good shape. And I think we've been doing the important stuff to play in championship golf. So, and leading up to the end of the season.
What would you say are the strong points of this team? Is it driving? Is it accuracy or iron play?
We drive the golf ball great. We have long guys that hit it pretty straight. Our iron play is really good. We hit it into our space, like I was saying, always in position after approach shot. And our putting is actually good. But we give ourselves so many chances that we miss a couple of them and we feel like we putted it bad. But, you know, our proximity to the hole has been great. Short game's been great. You know, if you hit it in a position, then your short game gets easier because then you have a simple up and down.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been working on that all year. And, you know, we have a lot of good players on our team.
Obviously, course management comes into play quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. If you're smart, it's not that hard for those guys.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, with their caliber of talent that they have. When y'all are at a tournament, who do you like to go with? I mean, because obviously you and Brad, y'all split up. But
yes, sir.
Is there one player or a couple of players that you like to go with and stay with them?
Yeah. In the fall, I did most of my work of the course with Little John. You know, he I guess he's a redshirt sophomore, but he Michigan, the Folds of Honor, was his first collegiate event playing in the lineup. And I've been walking with him, and yeah, walking with him, he stresses me out a lot, but he gets it around.
He stresses you out? Yeah. What does he do to stress you out?
He's, you know, LJ, he'll hit a bad chip at 10 feet and then make the putt from, you know, for par and say, okay, good, but you should have chipped better. but he's been great. He's been great. He's finished top 20 in every event this year. And he plays a pretty important role on our team right now.
I was going to say, with him, it would seem like his driver, I mean, he just wants to bomb it every time, kind of like his father, right?
Yeah, he's made a lot of improvements with his driver. And I'd say that's probably the best part of his game now. Well, he putts it really good, but his driving is, you know, it's really good.
I was going to say, if he can chip at the 10 feet and then knock it down every time from there for par, I mean, yeah, that putting is probably pretty good. But like you said, try to get it a little closer, make it a little easier on yourself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So we've been working on that, just to make it a little easier on ourselves.
You've only been here for a short amount of time, but have you been able to kind of gauge what high school golf in the state of Arkansas is like?
Yeah, yeah. We actually we're pretty big into recruiting a guy from Arkansas this year. So I got, you know, a little bit of I got the feels for it a little bit. So Yeah, I coach went to the overalls this year. I haven't really been to any high school tournaments yet, but I really want to. I think there's a lot of talent in the state, especially down in the southern part of the state from what I've seen. So, yeah, it's exciting. There's a lot of good players.
Growing up in Venezuela, how much did you get to watch, like, PGA Tour events? And which golfers, when they were playing, you had to watch?
Yeah, well, obviously Tiger Woods. You know, everyone loves Tiger Woods. I love Tiger Woods. To me, he's the best player in history. But yeah, I followed Johnny Vegas a lot. He's from Venezuela.
Yes.
Played at the University of Texas. And then, yeah, followed him. I followed him a lot. I got to play with him a couple times. I know his brother, Julio, that played for the University of Texas as well, won the NCAA championship in 2012. Yeah, and then obviously the guys from South America, Angel Cabrera, Camilo Villegas, and all those guys are role models for us.
How cool was it to see Camilo win again after the loss of his daughter?
It was amazing. You know, that's people don't realize how good those guys are. You know, he was out for quite some time, and then he went through that tragedy with his daughter. But it's amazing, and it shows you just hard work will take care of a lot of things. And, you know, he was really good, though, coming up.
How difficult is the SEC going to get with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma when it comes to men's golf?
It's already hard enough. And adding Texas and Oklahoma is going to be even harder. But, you know, I think with the way our recruiting is going and the way these guys are playing and working, I think we're going to be just fine. But, you know, it's crazy. We're eighth in the country right now, but we're fifth in the conference. So, you know, it's wild.
It's a loaded conference.
Yeah, so that's another thing that we sell in recruiting. Like, if you want to play against the best competition, well, come play in the SEC. Go come play for Arkansas.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Gustavo, best golf course you've ever played?
Best golf course I've ever played? Well, I played the U.S. Junior at a course called Martis Camp in Truckee, California. That's pretty special.
What was that place like?
Amazing. Amazing. Long, tough. Greens are crazy. So, yeah. But I'd say the Blessings is up there for sure. But, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play around to golf with, who would they be?
My brother, Rick, for sure. Tiger Woods and Johnny Vegas. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure Tiger and Johnny have some stories from back in the day.
Probably so, yeah. They were both Nike guys, I guess. Both, they're not Nike anymore.
No.
But, yeah, those three guys for sure. I like playing with my brother, Rick, too. He's a pretty good player. He's a 3 handicap, so, yeah.
That could be some good fun.
Oh, yeah.
What course you guys going to go play? You want to have them here at the Blessings?
Yeah, here at the Blessings. I have an advantage here.
I was going to say, you could take them on here.
Yeah.
Well, Gustavo, thanks so much for sitting down with me. Best of luck this year.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I know that nothing would make you more proud than hearing a hog call at the SEC Championships at Sea Island, or maybe hearing a hog call at California.
That's right. That's right.
After winning an NCAA championship late May, awesome. 1st of June.
That would be awesome. Thanks for having me, and some good things are coming our way.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
That's all the time we've got for this edition of From the Short Grass. As the weather starts to get a little warmer, make sure when you find your ball mark on the green, you fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Short Grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.